couple of minutes early tonight. SmackDown is about 10 minutes before finishing. Roman Reigns is entering the ring right now. Very slow, very methodical. Paul Heyman just staring at that championship. Good evening, everybody. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. Whether you're live or afterwards, big night tonight. I know everybody is focused on CM Punk, but, you know, as I've been saying for quite a while now, I think it's more than just CM Punk tonight. You know, these change in the landscape and this is an act, signing someone for a 10 to 12 match deal, it doesn't sound like changing the landscape. Bringing back a big star, absolutely. Be interesting if we see Daniel Bryan. Braun Strowman. Long shot, Bray Wyatt. See what happens. It's about to go down in about 10 minutes. John Cena's music just hit. Now, for those that have not followed me the last 48 hours, I got the third COVID vaccine yesterday. Feels like a week already. And today was kind of a rough day. I didn't go to work. So I wanted to rest as much as possible, have a fun night with all of you tonight. So we're going to just wait for the remainder of SmackDown to go off the air. We'll do a live Rampage watch-along for the first hour. Wow, loud chance for Cena. I mean, I think you expected that, but crowd is into it. By the way, shout-out to everybody who is at SmackDown that are going to check this out later on. And for those that are at AEW Rampage tonight, Mish is there. Mish originally was going to do the show with me here tonight as a little surprise, but he was able to get tickets for Rampage for $2 a piece. Yes, they had quite a few tickets selling for $2. They wanted to sell a place out. So I have no issue with that because a lot of wrestling events give away comps and this and that. It wasn't just scalpers trying to get a dollar or two rather than eating. I got news here. I ordered a ticket today just to keep his little keepsake. You know, if this night ends up being something huge and historic, I could say I actually owned an original ticket for it. All right, Roman Reigns is on the mic. Yeah, this is a picture for Mish. That's where he's sitting tonight. Not bad for $2, right? Roman Reigns is doing the very same promo from as last week. Sounds like he's doing the same promo from last week. Now, for those on audio only, watch-alongs do have some moments of silence. My apologies. Watch-alongs are probably not meant to be listen-alongs, you know? By the way, we will have the chat screen on the viewing area in a few moments, once SmackDown goes off the air. Roman Reigns is asking John Cena, when's the last time I lost? Sounded like a little southern accent to that. No one has ever beaten this Roman Reigns. Didn't he top out not too long ago? Hold on. Someone in the chat, didn't Roman Reigns lose not too long ago? Or maybe it was just tapping out and it wasn't an actual match. Cena hyping up the crowd about the excitement tonight. Team Reigns or Team Cena? He's talking about how the impossible is possible. That's defeating Roman Reigns. Oh, yeah, you like my shirt? Pork hub. Pork rub, excuse me. Pork rub. Not hub, rub. You know, you ever like buy like a barbecue rub you put on meat? Yes. Pork rub. John Cena is saying it. A lot of people are saying Roman Reigns is going to win because John Cena is going to leave again to go film a movie. John Cena is saying that he's going to win the championship and then go do movies while the champion, so Roman Reigns could remain on SmackDown and be embarrassed. Roman Reigns has lost control. John Cena feels he needs to be brought down to earth. For 1, 2, 3. Did you see the sneakers that Edge was wearing tonight with his in-ring promo? Check these out. Pretty cool, right? GOI kicks. They're not for sale. They only made one pair. And that was for Edge. He actually wore them in the ring tonight. A little premonition of what we were going to get a little bit later. Not too bad. John Cena is saying that this is a match that Roman Reigns never wanted. John Cena is talking about he's said the same thing for 20 years. Never give up. Nice pop. John Cena says, tomorrow, you get distracted. 1, 2, 3. That's the whole premise of this promo, just like last week. 2, 3. SummerSlam. 1, 2, 3. John Cena, very light on his feet today. Excited he's going to break the all-time championship record. Not just yet. We'll do predictions tonight. John Cena talking about he'll be the champion until WrestleMania Dallas. And then John Cena finishes up with the champ is here. Where are we? 9:56? And he finishes up with 1, 2, 3. He tosses the mic, so he's done talking. Roman Reigns looking down, smirking. Roman Reigns, you don't get it. You're trying to rationalize. Talking about movies, same promo. Roman Reigns saying you should have smartened yourself up. When people step in the ring with Roman Reigns, he smashes them so bad. Now Roman Reigns is pissed off. A little serious stare down in the middle of the ring. Roman Reigns is saying, you think I can't go to Hollywood and be a Hollywood star? Saying, you think you're better than me, John? Roman Reigns stops his talk, looks a little frustrated. Don't you feel an FU coming? Whatever they call it in 2021, I feel an FU coming in 1, 2, 3. Roman Reigns says he's leaving the stadium as Universal Champion or he's leaving WWE. Roman Reigns with his hand out, handshake. John Cena's got, oh, Roman Reigns. Oh, he almost did it. No. See, Roman Reigns, I think, tried to do the attitude adjustment, and John Cena did the fruit roll-up, insinuating 1, 2, 3, and he walked out of the ring. All right, let's put TNT up. I think we're going to go off the air with that. All right, TNT is on. TNT is on. Let's officially start this. Let's official start this.
Friday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
You've waited all week, and now it's finally here. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right. We are ready to go. History. Well, wait. That's better. History tonight. Maybe not on the epic levels of other moments in the past, but for 2021, I think this will do. Take it in, soak it in, bottle it. Take note of all of those AEW haters that disappeared tonight. Tomorrow they're going to say, oh no, they were out having dinner. They were out getting laid. They went out to parties. They worked. Whatever excuse they did, they disappeared today because, no, you're not allowed inside the bakery. You're not allowed inside the party. You rip. You know, one day it's, oh, we're all wrestling fans at the end of the day. We should all just have fun and respect what everybody likes. And then the next day, everybody who is singing along Judas with Chris Jericho is a whack job. Then the day after, oh, at the end of the day, we need to just be wrestling fans. Fuck you, seriously. Fuck you. We got SummerSlam today, or tomorrow. We have AEW Rampage right now. We had SmackDown a little while ago. Impact Wrestling, although it was taped, they had, what, Emergence, which wasn't a bad show. I'll give you the results later. This is fun. Be a wrestling fan. Everybody's got to make the little wise-ass remarks. And then what's funny is everybody giggles along with it. They're not really wrestling fans, man. They're lonely people that use certain promotions to put people down because misery loves company. Hyping up Jon Moxley versus Daniel Garcia tonight. Jade Cargill versus Kiera Hogan. And then we got Private Party, my choice, to win the whole 14 tournament. I want to see them go on to the pay-per-view. I always thought Private Party, Top Flight. Private Party, Top Flight. And with Dante Martin emerging as maybe a little bit of a single star, I want Private Party to get that opportunity. We have Taz, Excalibur, Jim Ross, and Mark Henry tonight. No Chris Jericho. I don't know why so many people complained about Chris Jericho last week. I know he was a little bit extra over the top, but yeah, it was okay. Loud CM Punk chants right now, man. Loud. I'm telling you, Kenny Omega, please, you got to troll the fans. Come on, do it now. Oh, wait. I think the music's playing. Yep. All right, come on, Kenny Omega, you got to go out, come out there. 1 month they've been saying I got to troll this. Come on, Omega, it's got to be Omega. Fuck MJF, some people are saying MJF. It's got to be Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega, oh, you wanted it? Oh, they have CM Punk's graphic on there. He is going to come out. There he goes. Here's CM Punk. He is here. Come on, chat room, this is history. Speak up. He's wearing a sweatsuit and jeans and shoes. Cult of personality. I kind of wish Kenny Omega would have trolled first. That nuclear heat that would have been generated. And then you have CM Punk come out. Ah, oh, come on. Crowd is unhinged right now. Lot of banners, lot of signs. Mish is there tonight. For anybody that's catching it, it's a little bit late. Mish is there. He was going to be with us tonight, but he had the opportunity to go for $2. How do you say no? You hear this loud CM Punk chants over the music. No commentary. He is still on his knees, on the rampway, just taking it in, smiling. He is pumped up. Looks good. You know, I mean, we've seen pictures of him training, so you should know what he looks like. Now, Excalibur talking. Welcome to All Elite Wrestling. This is nice, man. This is nice. This is awesome. Seriously. Just like the banner that I put earlier, It truly is. I mean, how do you just not get into that? Seriously. CM Punk smiling, acknowledging the crowd. He's giving a hug to someone. Yeah, there's a guy crying. There's a guy crying in tears. Remember what I said on Manhattan Island earlier today? The over and under of people crying is 6. I think that's his family. He just went into the crowd. He's hugging a whole bunch of people. And let me say something. I am not making fun of anybody crying. This is cool. Here in Chicago, he is a hero to a lot of people in Chicago. That is fucking epic. And anybody that makes fun of anybody crying tonight on social media, fuck you. Look in the mirror and then cry. Pussies. CM Punk hugging some people. I want to see what happens with him and Colt Cabana. Right? CM Punk looks visibly shaken. Like, and I mean that in a good way. Crowd loves it, man. And you know what's interesting about this? Look at the demographic. Remember when I said a couple of years ago AEW was going to be the first true millennial promotion? Look at that crowd tonight. You have a smatter of children there, but for the most part, it is a millennial audience. One fall calling me a hypocrite. Sure. You got your shout out tonight, my friend. CM Punk. Loud CM Punk. I wish I could stream some of this audio, but, you know, you can't take chances on YouTube. Still hugging a bunch of people around ringside. This has got to be his family. Couple of kisses. He is going to enter the ring wearing black jeans, sneakers, sweat jacket. And he goes to the top rope and he just pumps his arms. Nice release. Little gray on the beard. Like I said, if you've seen him training, you know it. He looks no different. Did they just go to commercial? They just went to commercial. Look, I totally get that not everybody is a CM Punk fan. I mean, he is extremely talented in the ring. He is awesome on the microphone, but a lot of people don't like his attitude. And that's a legitimate argument. That is definitely a legitimate argument. And I even said yesterday, what Roman Reigns said in an interview with Ariel Helwani, Roman Reigns was right. CM Punk was never on the level of a John Cena or Roman Reigns or someone else. But I also said yesterday that that's not CM Punk's fault. That was WWE's choice not to push him to a different level. And it could also be that WWE never knew how to completely use CM Punk. You know, okay, he's straight edge. All right, we'll do a storyline mocking the straight edge. You know, like some of the things they did was pretty stupid. But a lot of people do like him. And honestly, right now, like I said, the last time, and I've been a fan, we're at commercial break right now, by the way, everyone. And by the way, welcome. After the Rampage watch along, we will just briefly get into SmackDown. We will do SummerSlam predictions, and then I'm going to get out of here. We are back from commercial. Crowd is still chanting CM Punk. He loves us. You could see that he legitimately is feeling this. He's obviously going to cut maybe a pipe bomb. Nothing that I could recap right now will replace what he's going to say. So please go out of your way and watch what he has to say. I will try to summarize a little bit. His eyes are a little glassy. He's legit. Look, to have that much love from that many people in your home state, that's got to move anybody. He said, you know how to make a kid like Britt Baker in Pittsburgh you know, he's comparing it. He's talking about we. CM Punk says he didn't know what to say. He said he needed to feel it. And you could tell he felt it. I feel you, Chicago. Crowd erupted. And I hear you, Chicago. Puts the microphone up. Shout out to Mish, who is live there tonight, enjoying it. Probably the best $2 you ever spent, right, my friend? No joke. Kind of jealous. Man, I wish we had this platform in 1999 when Jericho debuted on Raw. Bringing up how he's been gone for 7 years. And he said he heard you. We got a lot to cover. We're not going to be able to get to it all right here, right now. He says he's got the time. He says he's got the time and he ain't going anywhere. Did Kenny Omega should interrupt him, get some nuclear heat still? I still feel that that was a missed opportunity earlier. Someone with a cool sign with 2,600 and I think 63 days, whatever it is. I'll tell you what he's saying in a second. CM Punk is saying that during his journey, if he had made any decisions that let anyone down, he understands. He said, staying in the same place that got me sick in the first place. People want to hear him say, fuck you, WWE. That's what they want. That's the climate. Let's be honest. That's the climate. We talk about it every week with other people's podcasts. You spit truths and you try to be positive and that doesn't get as much attention. They want people to just anger. And with everything going on in this world, probably need a little release. He's taking his shirt off. Is this the WWE shirt? I don't think so. I was there. Oh, that's the shirt they're selling today. Can I tell you a story? I think the crowd says yes. He's sitting down just like the pipe bomb. In the middle of the ring. He felt before like he had to leave. He didn't want to. And he told about Ring of Honor. He's talking about August 13th, 05, when he had his last match at Ring of Honor. He said that he created a place where people could come to work, hone their craft, and love professional wrestling. And that was one of the biggest reasons why he was crying when he was leaving Ring of Honor. It was a home. He said he knew where he was going was not going to be easy for a guy like him. He said August 13, 2005, he left professional wrestling. He's about to say something nasty, you could tell. August 20th, 2021, I returned. I'm back. He's back for everybody. He said he's not going to lie, he's back for him too. He said that he sees a lot of talent in the back. He wish he was around 10 years ago, but since they're there now, he says, why the hell not? He said he's back because there's a couple of scores to settle in that locker room. He wants to work with the young talent. He called out Darby Allin. Loud Darby chant. Darby is in the rafters with Sting. He's got to call Kenny Omega. It says, Darby, I see you. He says he's seen you jump out of a plane, go down a flight of stairs, tossed over the rope with a body bag, and you keep coming back, showing him some respect. He says that Darby Allin is first on the list. He said, Darby, there's nothing more dangerous that you can do than wrestling CM Punk. In Chicago, All Out. Yeah. Darby Allin versus Sting, September 5th, All Out pay-per-view. I'm back. Jim Ross putting it over. Jim Ross saying chills are running up down his spine. Crowd is loud. Oh, one more thing he says. He said that you all waited for 7 years. On your way out of the United Center, grab a free ice cream bar on me. Very cool. Very cool. And I got news for you. Seriously, props that they didn't go really, really low towards WWE. I'm sure CM Punk is going to have a lot to say in interviews and time in the future. But for tonight, there should be no controversy. Just act like that's the past. The hell with the past. I'm here now. Let's improve the future. That's a winning formula. Very cool. Very cool. Tonight is for everyone out there that always enjoyed CM Punk. Tonight is for everyone out there that is just a wrestling fan that can understand a big moment in wrestling. Not everybody likes CM Punk, but this is a big moment in wrestling. And you're going to have those people out there that are just going to throw derogatory words because that is going to stand out like a sore thumb, just like the goof that called the Rock a mark, just like the goof that said that Eddie Guerrero is a B-plus player. Ignore those people. Enjoy yourself. Soak it in. Take it in. Enjoy it. That's it. That's it. When you ignore those people and you just have fun, it just eats like battery acid to them. Why aren't they acknowledging me? Why aren't they paying attention to me? Why aren't they fighting back? That's what they want you to do. CM Punk giving high fives around ringside. We're about to go to another commercial. We have Christian Cage about to do an interview backstage. Christian hyping up Jurassic Express for their match that they're going to be having momentarily against Private Party. Darren, lighten the fuck up, Darren. When he says that he left wrestling in 2005 and in 2021 he's back, that is not a uber low blow cheap shot to WWE. He's not a sports entertainer. He's a fucking wrestler. Please. I hope you all enjoyed it. And there's more to come. There's more to come. You know, CM Punk being in AEW is huge. But does it change the landscape of AEW? I need a little bit more. I'm not trying to be greedy. Think about everything that Tony Khan said the last couple of days. Of course, he was going to deliver CM Punk. But does CM Punk change the complete landscape for AEW? For people who have been supporting AEW for 2 or 3 years, do you want CM Punk to be the one to change the entire landscape? No, I think a lot of you out there want to see Hangman Page become champion. You want to see some of the young stars getting elevated even further. Darby Allin, win or lose against CM Punk, is going to elevate Darby Allin, but does this change the landscape of AEW? I'm not so sure. I need more. I want more. I don't know if we'll get another appearance or two tonight, but I would love to see that. Some people earlier were claiming that Brock Lesnar was in Chicago. Some people were saying Braun Strowman was in Chicago because Braun Strowman went on social media and was asking people, any good place for deep dish pizza? I don't know who else is going to be debuting if tonight. But honestly, I would like to see a little bit more. You bring 2, 3, 4 people in there. You change some major storylines. Okay, you could shake it up a little bit. Now, as far as the rating goes today, I saw people saying that they're going to do 2 million viewers. Last week, they did 740. My prediction was 750. Right now, the way I feel, and my number may change by the end of Rampage, we don't know what is going to go on in the very, you know, for the next 40 minutes. But right now, what do I think the rating would be? Right now, I'm hovering around 1 million viewers. 950, 960, around there. Some people say 1.8 million. That's kind of, Roger Rubio, pork rub. A lot of people love my shirt. I posted a link in the description of tonight's show. If you want to pick up one of these shirts, get it on Amazon. Ignore the people on Twitter that are posting links. If you notice, they're not wrestling fans. They don't follow me. They don't care about anything that we do. They're just doing Twitter searches to see if any phrases or any shirt designs come up that they sell in their bootleg store. Look at Brian Pillman's, sister? Was it his sister, I think? And that shirt? And they all came out. Oh, buy the shirt here. Buy the shirt here. Buy the shirt here. It was all bootleg sites. Get this shirt on Amazon. It is better quality. If there's any problem, you could return it, and you'll get it in very quick time. So I posted a link in the description area in case you want to pick one up. So we're waiting for the commercial break to end. Dark match results tonight from SmackDown. Ridge Holland beat Austin Theory, and Keith Lee wrestled. We don't know who he defeated in the dark match, but a lot of people wondering, why is Keith Lee wrestling a dark match on SmackDown? It's the same reason we've said for the last 3 months. They're giving people some extra work. That's it. Period. Private Party is now coming down the rampway. Matt Hardy, dressed in a suit. Ridge Holland looks like a beast. I think they added a Ridge Holland dark match before TakeOver on Sunday. I don't know if it's Trey Baxter. I didn't look yet, but for some reason that name is coming to mind. KD, losing streaks on dark matches don't matter. Doesn't matter. Don't overanalyze it. They're giving Austin Theory so much more time to perform in front of large crowds. Loud pop for Jungle Boy's music. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus are about to come out. Is Christian coming out with them? I don't think so. That backstage promo, if we don't see Christian live, that might have been pre-recorded. Probably was. Christian wrestled for Impact Wrestling. It was pre-recorded, what, about 4 or 5 days ago? But Impact Wrestling had Emergence today, and Christian successfully defended the Impact Wrestling Championship, beating Brian Myers. Some of those results, I don't know. Nothing against Impact Wrestling. You know, I try to give my opinions of what I think is wrong, but some of the results today got me scratching my head, especially the number one contenders match for that championship. The Young Bucks are coming out. You know, whoever wins tonight is not facing the Young Bucks yet, so I'm a little surprised that they're coming out there. They're coming out there, I'm assuming, on commentary. Brandon Cutlett is with them. Are they going to sit on the rampway on, like, these custom producer, like, high chairs? By the way, how's everybody doing tonight? Good day for everybody. Looking forward to the weekend. You know, I don't know how anybody could complain about this week in wrestling overall, seriously. I mean, not everything's going to be perfect, but, man, talk about a great week in wrestling. I told you, and a lot of you knew this already, the last 4.5 months of 2021 is going to be awesome for wrestling fans. Pulsive, welcome to the family, my friend. Just subscribed. Welcome. Much love. Shout out to AS7607. She is doing good. Very, very cool. Right now, just a little Gaga in the ring. Very choreographed. I don't think it got, you know, when they both flipped up, Jungle Boy and Mark Quinn, the crowd was like a polite. Okay, now they're getting a little bit more physical. Mark Quinn's in the ring. Double team. Missed. I don't know. The match so far feels a little off, but here's Jungle Boy on the top rope. Very, very impressive. Jungle Boy on the top rope. Isaiah Cassidy tried to go after him, and he jumped over Isaiah Cassidy and landed back onto the top rope. Not the corner, the top rope. Young Bucks are mocking him, cheering him on. Phil, I'm doing okay. You know, I don't want to make this about me tonight, but for those that don't know, I got the Shaul Yisrael. Welcome to the family, my friend. Just subscribed. Much love. Much love. I got the third COVID shot yesterday, the third dose of Moderna. I feel very, very tired, very beat up. I didn't go to work today, which is rare. That's how horrible I felt this morning. By the way, we're at Pitcher-in-Pitcher commercial right now. They're hyping up Cody's reality series that triggered the masses. So we're at a commercial break right now. They slowed the pace down in the match quite a bit because they are a commercial. But I was talking about Impact Wrestling emergence earlier. I could get into the results very quickly. Matt Cardona with Chelsea Green in his corner defeated Rohit Raju. Decay, which is Black Taurus, Crazy Steve Havoc and Rosemary, defeated Falaba. No Way, Savannah Evans, and Tasha Steeles. Steve Macklin over Petey Williams. Madison Rayne over Taylor Wilde. Ace Austin won a number one contenders match, defeating Chris Sabin, Sami Callihan, and Moose. Ace Austin, I guess, is getting a shot against Christian Cage. A little surprised at that. Josh Alexander retained the X Division Championship, defeating Jake Something. Matthew Redwalt, I always screw up his last name, and Deanna Purrazzo over Trey Miguel and Molina, mixed tag match. Good Brothers over Rich Swann and Willie Mack, and Violent by Design in a three-way tag match for the Impact tag titles, and Christian Cage retains the Impact Championship, defeating Brian Myers. I don't know if I would have chose tonight to air that, but, you know, not a bad card, not a bad card. By the way, if you're enjoying tonight's show, I'd appreciate it if you smash that like button. You'd be surprised how much that helps. Post comments in the comment section. Interactive, interactive. So, we'll talk about SmackDown a little bit later. How do you like all that garbage that floated around today about Sasha Banks? Some people were a little more professional about it. It was still a commercial, by the way. You know, basically, there's nothing wrong with saying Sasha Banks is not in Phoenix. We don't know where her status is for SummerSlam. WWE still promoting the match. So you reported that WWE is still reporting the match. Some people out there refuse to do that. They refuse to keep this controversy that, yeah, they're still advertising it, but everything points to her not being there. Just report the facts that you know. Seriously. I don't know if she ends up competing tomorrow. Maybe they do some BS storyline. But still, I mean, leave it alone because the original reports people were trying to claim is that Sasha Banks got COVID. They didn't learn anything about what happened with Mia Yim and Keith Lee. So I think we're coming right back from commercial. It looks like we got one more commercial. Right now, Mark Quinn is straight up gaga with Jungle Boy. Very, very slow in the ring. We're coming back from commercials. Jungle Boy is trying to get a tag to Luchasaurus. Thrown back in the corner of Private Party. So there's a little double team beatdown right now. Very, very slow. All right. Now, okay. See, as soon as we came back to commercial, Jungle Boy. I don't know if you all saw that. Literally, as soon as they went back to commercial, just shot across the ring. It's like, all right, now go. Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus trying to get the hot tag. That was funny, man. You know what I like about this match? They're not chanting CM Punk anymore. They got what they wanted. Show respect to the wrestlers in the ring. Luchasaurus is now in the ring. Punch to Mark Quinn. Punch to Isaiah Cassidy. Thrown each of them in the corners. Mark Quinn, back body drop. Isaiah Cassidy splashed onto his stomach. Double clothesline. Luchasaurus on the middle rope, taking in the pop from the crowd. Crowd is now into it. We're at 10:33. Half the show's already over. Not bad. 1 hour flies so freaking fast. Jungle Boy with the tag. Luchasaurus dumps Mark Quinn on the top rope. Jungle Boy on the top rope. Looks like he's going for a superplex. And Luchasaurus has his head under his legs so Jungle Boy could land on Luchasaurus like a chicken fight. What the hell was that? Why would Luchasaurus stand in a corner while Jungle Boy is on his shoulders like a chicken fight just to have Mark Quinn do a Canadian destroyer off the top rope? Why would he just stand there? I mean, even if they did something where Mark Quinn was trying to hold his legs or something, at least shake, shimmy, a shake or something. Shout out to Gamers Block. I don't know if Rampage needs a second hour right now. I don't know if it does. I mean, if a show is great, then yeah, we want a second hour. But it might be too much. It might be overload. Shooting Star Press by Mark Quinn outside the ring landed on Luchasaurus and Isaiah Cassidy. Matt Hardy a little bit pissed off. Marco Stunt showing a little concern. The Young Bucks still sitting at ringside. Mark Quinn pie-facing Jungle Boy in the middle of the ring. Oh, nice. Nice. Double team cutter to Mark Quinn. Jungle Boy for a two count. All right, Matt Hardy is on the apron. He did what we all want to do. He takes Marco Stunt and just tosses him. Mark Quinn tried to do the fruit roll-up and grab Jungle Boy's tights, moon over Broadway, but just for a two count. Now I'm a little concerned. I don't think Private Party's winning this one. Doesn't feel it anymore. I think that was their shot. They're double-teaming Jungle Boy on the middle rope. I expect a reversal right now. There's got to be a botch. Yep, here's the botch. Jungle Boy with a DDT onto Mark Quinn. Isaiah Cassidy gets super-kicked by Luchasaurus. This match is just about over, everyone. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Perfect timing. Nice powerbomb. Young Bucks looking at their titles. Should show a little acknowledgement. Fun match. Can't complain. This is what Rampage is supposed to be for. Kenny Omega about to do a backstage promo, pre-recorded. He's with Don Callis. Don Callis talking about Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy with a fluke win. They're calling out Christian Cage for All Out. Kenny Omega is wearing a suit. Let's see if there's any CM Punk reference. No CM Punk reference whatsoever. That was pre-recorded, obviously. Jay Cargill versus Kiera Hogan is next. I felt bad for the hate that Jay Cargill got last week. you know, the dark shows are meant to give those wrestlers who aren't ready yet. Yes, they're putting her on Rampage on the same night that CM Punk is debuting. So there's going to be more eyes tonight. But, you know, everybody early in their career is going to screw up. And this, you could see that there's people online that are just waiting for botches so they could giggle. So they have food to live off of. And that's pretty sad. So, while we're at commercial, everyone, let me do a couple of shout-outs. Mark Anderson, this is one of the greatest nights in wrestling. First SmackDown, then CM Punk returning to wrestling in AEW. Look, for older fans out there, when you see a comment like that, before older fans start throwing up attitude era and other stuff, understand that a lot of fans who are enjoying wrestling right now are in their teens and their 20s. Some of them weren't even embryos when we got to enjoy what we enjoyed. I mean, Chris Jericho in 1999 was the last time that I truly counted down the days and the hours of when he was going to debut in the WWF. Kurt Angle in TNA was a close second. And there were others, some fascinating debuts, Scott Hall, Kevin, others. We could go down the list, but those guys, I didn't count down the days. Whenever it happened, it happened. It was like, cool, that's awesome. But this is something that a lot of people, you know, are really excited about. And younger wrestling fans did not get to experience a lot of what we experienced. You know, they see the Monday Night Wars, and they could watch those documentaries all they want, but they will never feel what we felt in the mid-90s, the late 90s. And no, we don't rub it in their face. We're old. They weren't around yet. So now they're getting to experience a major star jumping from a competitor, yes, 7 years in the making, but is going to the rival company right now and could still do it. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. So, you know, lighten up on, especially on younger fans that didn't get to experience some of those things. They're getting now what we got years ago. Just have fun. Just have fun. Seriously, there's nothing wrong with having fun. I know it's not the most popular thing these days, but nothing wrong with just having fun, chilling and relaxing and having a ball. Rojo Bear, what if it's Kalisto? He's from Chicago. Man, that would have been a massive troll job if they did that. Kalisto. Actually, that's kind of like Daniel Bryan. Rayguns 101, much love, my friend. Thank you for the kind words. Been tuning in for years. I hope to be around for a few years to come. I can't thank you all enough for your support. For someone who's, you know, like my age now, doing this almost 25 years. We're back from commercial. We're going to get the introductions to Jade Cargill and Kira Hogan right now. So, Philip Maffey, CM Punk, back in wrestling. This is a huge return. Do we think now that Punk has returned to wrestling that he could return to the WWE sooner than later? I don't know. You know, look, CM Punk, I don't think anybody would disagree. CM Punk sometimes is very difficult to work with. Very emotional guy, very moody guy. Sometimes doesn't work well with management. I think we all agree on that. But CM Punk is not a stupid person. You know, CM Punk will give enough to fans to, you know, make them happy. CM Punk, with those health issues, that Dr. Maroon, whatever his name was at that time, you know, I would be pretty fucking pissed too if I was CM Punk back then. You know, but 7 years have gone by, and, you know, I don't want to use the pun time heals all wounds, but, you know, as those 7 years go by, you know, he's married, and he's getting older, and he sees the writing on the wall that there aren't many years left to perform in the ring. And I don't know what CM Punk's future is. Never say never. Never say never. You'd be surprised. Some wrestlers who were very difficult to work with when they were younger ended up being a pleasure to work with as they get older. I think Shawn Michaels is a perfect example of that. So never say never, but I think right now CM Punk has got a job for the foreseeable future. So, pork rub. Kiera Hogan getting almost no reaction. Jade Cargill just staring her down in the ring. We'll go back to these. Mark Henry, I forgot he was on commentary. Yo, I'm going to go in the back. I'll be right back. I might have to get a refill soon. Jade Cargill throws her in the corner. Kiera Hogan with a punch and a kick. Another kick to the head. Jade Cargill in the corner. Kiera Hogan, if you've never seen her work, she is excellent. She is excellent. And for all you Impact Wrestling fans out there, if you say you never saw her work, I don't think you're an Impact Wrestling fan. Jade Cargill has Kiera up, about to dump her chest first to the mat. Yes. Turns her around. Is that it? Jim Ross says, very nice. I don't think so. That was a three-move squash match. For Jade Cargill, this is great. I don't know why you would do that with Kiera Hogan. Obviously, beating a name like that is a big deal. But to squash Kiera Hogan like that, I disagree with that. I disagree. They're recapping a little bit of CM Punk from earlier. I'm not going to recap a recap. We did that a few times with Randy Orton and Lily and Alexa Bliss. Remember, we were recapping Randy Orton recapping a recap. CM Punk makes his first Dynamite appearance this Wednesday. It was just announced, which will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. CM Punk will be on this Wednesday. This Wednesday, the Lucha Bros, versus the Varsity Blondes. Winner of that match takes on Jurassic Express to determine who faces the Young Bucks at All Out. Jamie Hayter versus Red Velvet. This is all for Wednesday. Orange Cassidy versus Matt Hardy. Malakai Black versus Brock Anderson. Arn will be in his corner. Yeah, next week on Rampage will be the finals to determine who faces the Young Bucks at All Out. That is 1 week from today. Mark Henry is backstage. All right, he's in the middle. I guess this is a weekly thing now. Right before the main event, Mark Henry is in the middle screen, and you got the participants on the left and the right. On one side, you have Daniel Garcia with 2.0, and the former Ever-Rise, and John Moxley on the opposite side. Moxley is facing away from the camera. All we see is his jacket with Mox on it. Matt Martell is talking about how there's 15,000 fans in attendance to see Daniel Garcia, main event. Moxley is in a bad mood. He's pissed off. Putting down Daniel Garcia. John Moxley storms off. He's pissed off. Takes the... And Mark Henry, it's time for the main event. So we're going to commercial again. Very, very fast hour, everybody. Fast hour. Which is good. because I get to finish the show a little early tonight. I'm still, you know, only 36 hours, not even 36 hours since I got the third COVID vaccine. Yeah, I'm showing the picture again for proof because some people may not believe me. There's a lot of lying that goes out on social media. Got the third shot yesterday, and I'm still feeling it. So I got to get myself a good night's sleep tonight. But don't forget, tomorrow night after SummerSlam, I will be here with a recap. And then Sunday night after NXT TakeOver, I will be here for a recap. Then I'll be here on Monday with Mish. So we have a big weekend ahead. Big weekend ahead. Shout out to Alexis Rodriguez. He's happy for AEW and CM Punk, but in his opinion, AEW should have kept it a secret until today. They did. They did. That's smart what they did. Let everybody else be the mouthpiece for you. Let everybody else, you know, take it. Fans made this so big that if Tony Khan did not deliver CM Punk tonight, Tony Khan, it would have been one of the most embarrassing moments in wrestling for anybody. Because if this was not happening, CM Punk or Tony Khan or somebody would have came out a week or two ago and say, listen, everybody, before this turns into a giant snowball, you know, let's stop this right now. You know, I don't want anybody to have false hope. I don't want anybody to buy ticket, you know, pay and be disappointed. Instead, he did the obvious. He says, I think everybody will be very happy with tonight. We're going to deliver. You know, Tony Khan basically said everything except for the word CM Punk. They did it right. They did it right. In my opinion, they did it right. Mark Anderson thinks it's one of the greatest nights in wrestling. It's a fun night, man. It's a fun night. No one person, you know, turns a promotion around. CM Punk is not what Hulk Hogan was to WCW in 1993. All right, he wasn't what Hogan was in 85. Cena couldn't even turn things around all by himself. If that was the case, why do we have such steep declines in wrestling in the mid-2000s? You know, I mean, a lot of that was going PG and some controversy, some unfortunate deaths. But you look at the history of wrestling, no one person, but CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, maybe we get the Wyatt family coming into AEW in some shape or form. Braun Strowman wants to keep working with Bray Wyatt. It is not a secret. He still wants to work with him. If Bray Wyatt was not looking to do anything in wrestling still, I don't think some of his friends would be publicly, you know, keeping it out there so fans eat it up. Oh, my God, did you see what Bray said? Did you see what Braun said? You see what this said? The next 4.5 months as a wrestling fan, if you have anything to complain about, I mean, that's... not everything's going to be perfect. Just enjoy the shit that makes you happy. So, Gamer's Block, he was digging the show. His 1 hour, he thinks Rampage should go too. Right now, I don't think it's needed. I don't think it's needed. If AEW could still sell out 10, 15,000 seat arenas, yeah, then you do it. They made money tonight. You know, I'm not saying this to throw any shade on this. Mish, my co-host, my friend, is there tonight. He was going to hang out here with us tonight. This is a picture of from Mish where he's sitting tonight. He paid $2 to go to AEW tonight. $2. Yes, there were a lot of scalpers that got stuck with tickets. So some people were selling them for $1 or $2 to get something out of it. Like I said earlier, I don't have it in front of me, but I bought a ticket earlier just for memento. You know, I have a ticket, one of the 15,000 that was sold. But, you know, WWE, WCW, ECW, well, not really ECW because the building was so small. Every promotion comps a little bit. You give some tickets away to local radio stations. DJs give it out. You have contests. You have this. You have that. Even when I worked for a short time for ECW, and I used to push the tickets through my hotline, you know, they would say to me, yeah, here's a couple. Sell them, go, do whatever you want with them. Here's a couple. Always got comped. So comping tickets is nothing new. Selling them for $2, you know, you're going to have people that are going to focus on that today. Don't even pay attention to those people. Moxley is in the ring. Daniel Garcia is in the ring. We're at 10:54, so this match is only going 4-5 minutes. It's going to be interesting to see if anybody comes out. John Moxley with immediate stomps in the corner, whipping Daniel Garcia. I think this is going to be a very one-sided match. Nice suplex, almost on his neck. Garcia selling it really well. John Moxley with a snapping Garcia over, kick to the chest. Another kick to the chest. Moxley with a third kick to the chest. Little pie face to Daniel Garcia. Daniel Garcia no-selling it with a drop kick to the knee. And takes down Moxley. Little leg whip to Moxley's left leg. Moxley selling it. Daniel Garcia kicking Moxley's legs from underneath him. Daniel Garcia with a forearm to Moxley's bad leg. So right now, Daniel Garcia is working on the left leg of Moxley. Daniel Garcia seems to be freezing up a little bit. Very talented. I don't know, main eventing in front of 15,000 fans on the night CM Punk debuts. Interesting choice. Calling this the biggest match in Moxley's career. Moxley just reversed it into an armbar. Garcia turns Moxley over and starts wailing on Moxley's midsection. Now his head and his shoulder, the back. Chop to Moxley in the corner. Garcia shaking his hand. Eddie Kingston riling up the crowd. Eddie Kingston at ringside. Suplex by John Moxley. Second time. Are we going to get a third one? Is third time going to be a charm? He tries the third one, but Daniel Garcia reverses it into an ankle lock. We are at 10:56. So we got about 2 minutes left, everybody. John Moxley gets to the ropes. Referee forces a rope break, which is pretty funny in AEW. Moxley with a vicious clothesline to Garcia. I think this match is just about over, everyone. Moxley and Garcia exchanging forearms to the head. Crowd is awfully quiet for this. I mean, they're into Moxley, no question. Moxley with a bunch of headbutts. Suplex. Wow, nice. Inside-out suplex. Beautiful. Moxley pandering to the crowd. This match is just about over. Tempted paradigm shift. Garcia a little bit too long to do some moves. He's got him in a sharpshooter. Looks very, very messy. You know Moxley's about to reverse this. You imagine if Garcia beat Moxley? Yeah, here's the reverse into the bulldog choke. It's over. Yeah, it's over. That's it. We're at 10:58. Fikal Oran, I don't know if it's live in the Arab countries. I honestly don't know. I don't know what your provider would be. I mean, I could always look it up for you. All right, we're about to go off the air, and we have 2.0 and Garcia, Daniel Garcia, going after both Moxley and Kingston, and someone is hitting the ring to make the save. Here's Sting and Darby Allin. They are going to the ring. Darby Allin and Sting wailing on 2.0. Moxley with a beautiful suplex of Garcia. He's out of the ring. Now Eddie Kingston is in the ring as well. Matt Martell thrown in one corner. Matt Lee, excuse me. Now both members are in the corner, and Sting with the Stinger Splash onto both of them. Scorpion Death Drop. Darby Allin with a shot to Matt Lee. He's in the ring. So Darby Allin's going to do a coffin drop to both members of 2.0. So that's how they're going off the air. Moxley, Kingston, Sting, and Darby Allin all in the ring together. We got Moxley's music blasting Wild Thing, and we are going off the air. Excuse me. They're hyping up CM Punk's appearance on Dynamite this Wednesday. Okay. Eddie Kingston in the middle of the ring with Jon Moxley, Darby Allin, and Sting. They're going off the air right now. Yes. So that is it. Not bad. Shut the tablet off so I don't lose battery life. Not a bad show at all. Not a bad show at all. So it is official. CM Punk is in AEW. As I said earlier, I'm not going to recap it again. We just talked about it for an hour. But one thing I will repeat is that they did it right. I know a lot of people out there wanted to hear CM Punk vent 7 years of frustration and just name names in WWE and call them out and basically just tell them this. Trust me, CM Punk told WWE this tonight by appearing in AEW, debuting with AEW, and doing what is needed to try to help build AEW even bigger. Very good show tonight. 1 hour goes awfully fast, but I enjoyed it tremendously. Do you guys want to do another watch-along next Friday? I know we were going to do it throughout the month of August, but, you know, you can't expect cake and ice cream on Rampage every single week. It's going to come a day very, very soon where the matches are not as big as the first couple of episodes. Look, it's still shiny and new. Rampage still has that new car scent, so they are going to still give us some bigger matches. But something to think about if you want me to do this throughout September as well. So anyway, before we wrap up tonight's show, just want to very quickly get into SummerSlam predictions. Tonight on SmackDown, as I said earlier, Ridge Holland beat Austin Theory in a dark match. Keith Lee also won a dark match. I don't know who he faced. Everybody is saying some local talent. We don't know. By the way, if you tuned into yesterday's show, you already know this. But today, WWE announced, I think, the next 12, around a dozen, new signees to the Performance Center. And the funny thing is if you look at them, I think quite a few of them fall into the midget territory. You realize WWE signing people to the Performance Center, they're not doing anything different that they were doing before. They have too many people. They get a hire 10, 20, 30, 40 across 6 months. And anybody that they feel that they're not going to be able to benefit from in the very near future, they're going to cut loose. Some of those people today that were signed, they may not be there in a year from now. And then it's the same thing all over again. So, but anyway, SmackDown tonight, we had Jey Uso over Rey Mysterio. Any of you out there feel like Dominic Mysterio is going to turn on Rey? Because they've really been pushing that, you know, Dominic's excited, he wants to win, he wants to do this. And Rey's like, you know, son, calm down. Son, calm down. Tonight, Dominic tried to interfere. It backfired. You know, it's funny. When a heel tag team partner interferes, the announcers are all butthurt over it. And then you have the referee, out of here. But when Dominic does it, I know. When Dominic does it, oh, he was trying to help his father. And Charles Robinson is like, look, you got to go in the back. I mean, what you did, Dominic, is wrong. None of this. Out of here. I don't know, man. I'm starting to think that Dominic is going to turn on Rey, which would be pretty interesting. So Rey Mysterio is distracted, and Jey Uso with the win. Baron Corbin comes out with the briefcase. Beats Kevin Owens by disqualification because during the match, Big E comes out, tries to get the briefcase back, starts wailing on Baron Corbin, so the ref calls for the DQ. Do you feel like the briefcase is starting to turn into like a 24-7 title? Because Big E has his hands on his briefcase and somehow Baron Corbin escapes the building with the briefcase. Where's Adam Pearce in storyline? Where's Sonya Deville in storyline? Baron, you can't cash in that contract. Give the briefcase back to Big E. Otherwise, you're fired. I know it's a storyline, but that just shows you how stupid the storyline is. To even insinuate that Baron Corbin could cash in the contract because he's got his possession on the briefcase. I don't know. They've fucked with that briefcase the last 2 years, and I don't like it. I mean, you remember that other storyline with the briefcase? Remember? Anybody remember about the last time with the briefcase? Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Nox beat Natty and Tamina. Natty is nowhere near 100%. She had that ankle surgery, pins, screws, stitches. She's got a lot of rehab to do. And what they're doing is they're trying to avoid stripping them of the belts. So she could do a little bit. But that's why you're getting like what you got tonight. A very, very quick match. Shotzi Blackheart with the fruit roll-up on Natty. And, you know, the funny thing is that Nox and Shotzi already beat the tag team champions once in a non-title match. So they should already have had the opportunity to fight for the titles. Otis over Montez Ford. Faster match than I expected. I love Otis. I love this look right now. Thank God. Thank goodness. Thank God that WWE waited to have Otis shave his beard. If he would have done that a year ago while he was heel in Thunderdome, by now, that look of Otis, the way he is now, we would have gotten so used to that it wouldn't have amounted to anything. But I like the current Otis right now. I'll be honest with you. I was not happy at Rick Boogs beating Apollo Crews in that tag match tonight. We had King Nakamura and Rick Boogs taking on Commander Aziz, and Apollo Crews in a tag match. And Rick Boogs with like a power slam on Crews and beats him. And even Pat McAfee was a little surprised at it. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. Suddenly, Apollo Crews looks like so much of his value is dropping so quickly. Sasha Banks was not there, you know, fueling the reckless reports online. But they announced that Bianca was going to take on two people tonight, two matches. First, she beat Zelina Vega. Then she beat Carmella, and they still hyped up her match against Sasha at SummerSlam. Sure, something could always happen tomorrow. Who knows? But, you know, I just wish more people would stick to the facts. And there's nothing wrong with saying we don't know Sasha's condition. We don't know why she hasn't appeared. We don't know what her status is for tomorrow. You know, if you're straight up with people, they're not going to turn around and say, bye, I don't want to read your stuff anymore. You don't have the answers. Bye. Now, for any of you that caught the show a little bit late, Edge opened up the show and cut a fabulous, fabulous promo on Seth Rollins. Recapping 2014, recapping everything that led up to tonight, talking about, you know, that he could have been seriously injured, talking about his family. Then he talked about Seth Rollins's bringing him to a dark place that he loves. And at SummerSlam, he's going to burn Seth Rollins down. And as I showed you earlier, I don't know if you took notice of Edge's sneakers, but there is a sneaker company called GOI Kicks, and they made a custom pair of sneakers for Edge. Only one. These are not for sale, but Edge was wearing these earlier, and it had the Brood on the back. Yes, Edge wears shoes of AEW wrestler on SmackDown. Then we got this later on. Seth Rollins comes out. I have a picture. Seth Rollins comes out, cuts a promo. Fans are chanting, we want Edge. Seth Rollins is like, you got him before. Now you got me. And I am a big fan of Rollins. I can't wait till I get that troll shirt that I have, you know, waiting for me. By the way, again, for anybody that's here late, in the description area, if anybody wants to buy this shirt, I'm not selling them. I don't make nothing. I have a link for Amazon. This is where I got mine. It's top quality. Do not get the ones that are advertised on Twitter. Those are some bullshit shirt companies that if it comes in, the quality sucks or the sizes are off, you can't return it. You'll have to go through hoops and hurdles to get your shit returned. But Rollins comes out there and is throwing the bad mouth to Edge. And then we see flames on the Titantron. Then we hear the beginning of the Brood. I used to be able to do it perfect. I used to recite it, but I used to, every part of it. And it's like the 12-inch version. All you hear is the beginning of the Brood. It's just looping over and over and over again. Ooh. By the way, John, thank you for this, my brother. One of our channel members sent me this NXT In Your House signed by all 18 that you see on the screen. And once again, shout out to John, who sent me these 23-year-old WWF gummies sealed in the pack. He dares me to eat one of these 23-year-old gummy bears live on the show. And I freaking forgot to bring it in here. I'm going to have to show you Monday. One of my other listeners sent me something that he said, keep it for yourself or give it away on the shows. I never saw it before. Again, AEW, they have to sell more than just t-shirts and, you know, pay-per-views, you know, and wrestling figures. They got to start merchandising. Lunchboxes, this. I mean, they got to cut. Steve Austin in the 90s. I don't think anybody remotely has any idea the thousands of items that were up for sale in stores that were Steve Austin. Somebody sent me a Steve Austin talking bar of soap. It is sealed in the pack. I'm going to try to open the pack to change the batteries, because the batteries don't work because the thing is 24 years old. And on the back of the package, it has the quotes that Steve Austin says. And I kid you not, it is a bar of soap. And it's got Steve Austin's picture on the front. I went on eBay, I couldn't even find one. And one of the phrases that it says is, You dropped the soap. Now what, jackass? Just think about that for a second. You dropped the soap. Now what, jackass? My God. I put up my P.O. box yesterday for everyone, and some people started DMing me like, DT, I'm going to send you some wild shit. Somebody is sending me WWF Superstar cookies from 1987, sealed in the pack, daring me that I open it up and eat an Andre the Giant cookie. So what am I going to turn into? The L.A. Beast? Have a good day. We're going to have fun on these shows. I'm looking forward to it. So anyway, Seth Rollins throws the bad mouth to Edge, flames on the screen, Edge back on the screen telling Seth Rollins he's going to get it when he least expects it. He'll never know where it comes. And then they do the brood bath. Pat McAfee even admitted. He's like, I don't know what I was allowed to call it. I called it the brood bath. It was not a bloodbath, everyone. Seth Rollins looks like a bronze statue. He looks like a piece of chocolate that you would get in Easter time. It was not blood color, but it still looked awesome. They called it the brood bath. So, I don't know. It looks like chocolate. It looks like a watered-down chocolate pudding. But it was not blood color. It's, I don't know. It looks like Hershey's chocolate milk. You know that deep chocolate syrup? But again, it looked cool. You know, I don't know if anybody at ringside got splashed from it. I think Seth Rollins sold it great. He kept slipping a couple of times. I'm telling you, Seth Rollins, he looks like a chocolate you'd buy on Easter or any non-Catholic holiday. But it does. It looks like dark chocolate. Seth Rollins and Edge are going to tear it up on Sunday. Roman Reigns and John Cena at the beginning of tonight's show right here. We talked about it in real time, so I'm not going to repeat it again here. But I tell you, from top to bottom, SmackDown is putting up some quality matches. Raw, not so bad either. You know, some of the matches on Raw might not be 4-star quality matches, but they will be entertaining enough that I think SummerSlam is going to be an outstanding show. I really do believe that. Now, as far as predictions, I have the matches in front of me. Now, soon as I'm done here, which will be in the next couple of minutes, for my channel members here, I am going to post the thread where you could post your predictions. We will do a predictions contest, and we'll give away, you know, $50 Amazon gift card like before. All you got to do is predict who's going to win, and we'll have a tiebreaker. I think I know which match Goldberg, predict how long Goldberg's match goes. That kind of like, you know, narrows it down to a couple of minutes. For my Patreon family, I am going to post one as well. But just keep in mind, SummerSlam is Saturday, not Sunday. So you only have about 12 to 16 hours to post your entry. Don't wait till the last minute. There's a few of you out there that get cute. You wait till the last minute thinking that a spoiler is going to come out and is going to give you an easier time to post your predictions. As I always said, if a spoiler comes out, the match is void. So you might as well just post them early so you got your entry in and that's it. So you'll have probably until about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock on Saturday to post your entries. So anyway, SummerSlam predictions. Nikki Ash defending the Raw Women's Championship against Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. Remember, Becky Lynch is returning. They're not going to pass up 70,000 fans at SummerSlam, not losing their shit because Becky Lynch comes back. The only question is, how is Becky going to come back? Is she going to come back and help Nikki Ash retain her title? Or do we get Charlotte winning the Women's Championship and to deflect that title victory almost immediately, that Becky comes out, and then we have Becky-Charlotte feud? I mean, that seems the first feud, almost the most obvious one. I have said this for about 2 months. It's nothing against Nikki Ash, but I said from the night she debuted, even a week later when I thought about it a little bit, I said, let's see a month, month and a half from now how she's pushed on TV. Because I'm not feeling it. And even now, I think Nikki Ash should eventually turn on the fans. She should turn heel. But Nikki Ash, has, since she's been doing this character, has yet to win a match clean. She's had no-holds-barred matches, falls count anywhere, whatever it is. She's had beat the clocks. She's had tag team stuff. She hasn't had a straight-up one-on-one match where she pinned somebody clean. Not one. Go check it and see if I'm wrong. So I can't see how Nikki Ash beats either one of them on Sunday. If Nikki Ash wins on Sunday, I mean, that's going to be rather unique. So I almost feel like Rhea Ripley needs to get that title back. I think Rhea Ripley needs that championship because who does Rhea Ripley feud with next? Asuka? I don't think so. We just went through that with Mania. Becky Lynch is probably going to feud with Charlotte unless they turn this into a four-way. And I don't know if I want to see Becky versus Charlotte versus Rhea versus Nikki at a next pay-per-view. Where does Asuka fit in all of this? So this match has me a little intrigued because my gut feeling says Nikki Ash should retain. But WWE has shown that they don't have true faith in her because they haven't had her defeat any of the higher women on the food chain clean. So is it going to be more smoke and mirrors? So I would prefer that Rhea Ripley retains, but it just seems that we might have some clusterfuck BS tomorrow. Hillian Dredd, welcome to the family, my friend. I'll go with Nikki Ash to retain, but just so you know, I want Rhea Ripley to win that belt tomorrow. And if Charlotte wins, expect Becky to immediately come out and divert that attention away. You watch. Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie. Man, you know that there's going to be a split with Doudrop and Eva Marie. I would love to see Eva Marie get the win just to troll everybody out there. But in this case, I almost feel like there's too many people that like Alexa Bliss. I know people take it out on her that Bray Wyatt is no longer there. But I think Alexa Bliss wins and maybe something backfires and Eva Marie once again slaps around Doudrop and Doudrop maybe this time listens to the crowd and the crowd is trying to get her to, you know, walk away from Eva Marie and maybe she does. So it would be an awfully fast split. But I'm going to go with Alexa Bliss to win that match. Psycho, we will call her Piper when her name on TV is Piper. I got so angry at morons before that are addressing CM Punk by his first name. If you know him personally and he says, call me Phil, that's fine. But when I see these people that have to write it like that so they stand out on social media, think I'm stupid. I'm in my 50s now. I see all the tricks of the trade and acknowledge me. Oh, I can't wait for Phil to debut tonight. Phil who? Phil Mickelson? Morons. So I think Alexa Bliss wins. Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal. Veer and Shanky are barred from ringside. I think Drew McIntyre has got to get the win. Drew McIntyre, you know, he's not going for championships. Jinder, I don't think, needs a win right now. So I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre to win. Sheamus versus Damian Priest for the United States Championship. Sheamus still needs more time to recover with that injury to his face, the broken nose, orbital, whatever it was. And he's good enough to compete right now. But I think you take the title off of him and you give it to Damian Priest. Damian Priest, you know, is liked by the fans, but he's been in this storyline with Miz and Morrison since the Royal Rumble. It's time to shift a little bit. If Damian Priest loses to Sheamus, what's next for Damian Priest? At least if he's a champion, you could come up with a million ways to find the next challenger to Damian Priest's United States Championship. So I'm going to go with Damian Priest to win that belt. AJ Styles and Omos defending the Raw Tag Team Championships against AJ Styles. Oh, excuse me. They're defending against Rated RK-Bro. Man, we criticize Raw a lot. You have to admit, AJ Styles and Omos as a tag team has been pretty good. Randy Orton and Riddle as a tag team has been a huge surprise and one that has clicked really, really well. And I picture 70,000 fans and I picture SummerSlam, and I think you have to have that moment of Riddle and Randy Orton being your tag team champions. Hell, let AJ Styles feud with Damian Priest next for the United States champion. He could still be tag team partner with Omos. Some people think AJ and Omos are about to split. I think that's a little bit too soon. But I'm going to go with RK-Bro to win those tag titles. Edge versus Seth Rollins. Man, I am ecstatic that CM Punk is back in wrestling. CM Punk in wrestling is better than CM Punk outside of wrestling. CM Punk, it's going to be fun to have another main talent that is not part of management backstage, that is not like this with anybody that's in management backstage. I mean, you really think about that. You know, he's an outsider in that company, but obviously CM Punk has too much pride and ego to not give anything but 100% out there. But with that said, you take CM Punk's emotional return tonight, and you take Edge's promo tonight. Edge is on a nuclear level. How his facial reactions, how angry he gets. It's almost unfair to have those two guys cutting a promo on the same night because they're so different, but Edge just fucking kills it. Edge versus Seth Rollins is one of my most anticipated matches at SummerSlam. And honestly, I know Seth Rollins does not need the win. I think Edge should get this win. Seth Rollins could still go for championships. He doesn't lose any status if with a loss. Edge, you know, lost at WrestleMania. Edge lost other opportunities. You know, Edge has not had too many wins under his belt. So as much as I would be fine with Seth Rollins getting the win, I think Edge has got to get this one. So I'm going to go with Edge to win this match. Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks. Now, like I said, today some websites were being a little bit more respectable and just saying, look, we don't know what's going on tomorrow. She didn't work the house show last week. She didn't appear tonight in Phoenix. But they're still advertising the match. They're still going ahead with it on TV. So I have to go with the idea that that match is still on. I'm not going to speculate why they didn't have their match at the house show. You know, there's a couple of things floating out there that aren't as bad as the dumb COVID reports. And look, she could have had it. But it's very reckless to even make that claim as a possibility or put a question mark before it. Because that's the same shit they did about Keith Lee and Mia Yim back then. You know, so I'm going to go with the idea that that match is still on. And even with that match on, no matter what, Bianca Belair walks out of SummerSlam still your SmackDown Women's Champion. Bianca Belair will remain champion. The Usos, I believe, will retain the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. They will beat Dominic and Rey Mysterio. Man, it sure feels like Dominic is going to turn on his father for his father treating him like a little child. I think there might be a faux pas once again, and this time it might be because of Rey, and I think Dominic is going to get pissed off and snap. Might be a little too soon to do that, but no matter what, I think the Usos walk out still your tag team champions. So that leaves two matches. Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg. Not even a question in my mind. Bobby Lashley retains. I don't know why people were so surprised reporting Goldberg reveals how many matches left on his contract. We said this last year. He only had a year or two left on his deal, and each year it was for two matches. Two or three, maximum. So it was revealed he's got two matches left. One is probably going to be against Roman Reigns. The other one, we have no idea. Goldberg is not going to win that belt because then he has to lose that belt. There's no chance whatsoever. And people that have been losing their shit and going out of their way to profess all this anger about Goldberg being on this show, this is designed to help Bobby Lashley. Goldberg wrestled this year, and he lost to Drew McIntyre. In the annals of wrestling history, Drew McIntyre has a win over Goldberg, as will Bobby Lashley, period. That's it. And the match is going to be fast. It's going to be about 4 minutes long. It's going to be physical. But in the end, Bobby Lashley wins. End of story. Roman Reigns versus John Cena. This match looks to be so much fun. I love the back and forth they had the last 2 weeks. I know WWE was a little concerned early on, you know, because John Cena could eat anybody alive and spit them out. And we talked about the back and forth he had with The Rock, what, 2012, around that time? Roman Reigns held his own. And, you know, them planting the seed about 17-time champion, and at any moment, 1, 2, 3, Roman could be distracted and he could lose. Even with all of that successful build and pushing that aspect, I don't think there's any chance whatsoever Roman Reigns loses this title at SummerSlam. Roman Reigns is red hot as your champion right now. Roman Reigns being the tribal chief is still, you don't try to fix that's what's not broken. Whoever beats Roman Reigns, it's going to be an uber special moment. Now, could it still be Big E? Sure, it's possible. It almost feels like Big E would have to take on Lashley, especially after Lashley's history with Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. But, you know, I feel John Cena will become 17-time champion, just not Sunday. So, no, I don't believe Roman Reigns will beat. I mean, I don't believe John Cena will beat Roman Reigns Sunday. It'll be back and forth, and we'll probably have a ref bump. We'll probably have the Usos come out. We'll probably have some bullshit. But I think in the end, Roman Reigns retains that championship. So, and yes, we talked about it earlier. Roman Reigns saying that if he walks out of SummerSlam, not the Universal Champion, then he's leaving WWE. That is not an actual stipulation. But it's just done to add suspense to the match. I'm looking forward to this match, but I think Roman Reigns retains. I don't even think it's a question. So, anyway, with that said, I think we're going to wrap this up. We're at an hour and 44 minutes. So, like I said, my work is not done tonight. After I post the show online, I'm going to put the predictions contest up for the channel members and for our Patreon family. I will be back here tomorrow night, right after SummerSlam, for your recap. I don't know if I'm doing it alone or with Mish. I'm not sure what his plans are. But I will definitely be up here tomorrow no matter what. I hope you can join me. And then Sunday is TakeOver. I know they added a dark match, Ridge Holland. I think it might be against Trey Baxter. I'm not sure. But Ridge Holland is definitely wrestling a dark match, as he did tonight, to get some more work in. No, there's no SummerSlam watch along. I'm not sitting here for four and a half hours tomorrow. My ass is hurting right now, and I just got the COVID shot not even 36 hours ago, Darren. So, Ronnie, welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome. Yeah, I got to get some sleep. I recorded, just so you know before I go, this morning at 6:30 in the morning, I had my phone right by my bed. And because I'm video documenting my experience getting this third COVID shot that I got yesterday, I said, okay, when I wake up, I'm going to take my temperature and I'm going to record how I feel. I was in La La Land. I recorded myself in bed. My face looks like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And, you know, I said, I'm going to get up and go to work. No bullshit. I got up 6:30 this morning. I went into the bathroom, took a leak, turned my shower on. And it was taking a while for the water to warm up. So I went back in my bedroom and I fell asleep for 2.5 hours. Like two and a half hours. Well, while the water was running. And I was in so much soreness this morning, I didn't go to work. So I slept until about 1 o'clock this afternoon. So, I'm still dealing with that. I feel pretty good right now. No fevers or nothing. But, you know, I'm documenting it. This way it may help someone, you know, who's undecided about getting the third shot, the second shot, the first shot, whatever. But once tomorrow comes, if tomorrow I have no more symptoms, then that's it. Whatever video I record tomorrow, I'm going to pay somebody online to put it all nice and neat because I never vlogged before, and I'll put that online for everybody to see. If I have any side effects tomorrow, then I'll continue it for another day. But for now, I say goodnight to everybody. If you did not watch AEW tonight, even if you're not a big CM Punk fan, if you just want to enjoy a pretty cool moment in wrestling and to see how emotional some people got to see his return, there were some tears shed. And that's a cool thing. That's a cool thing because, you know, I'm not saying I would shed a tear for Bray Wyatt if he was gone for 7 years or others, but there's some of you out there, if you are a huge wrestling fan and your favorite wrestler leaves wrestling, and then he's gone for 7 years and then makes a return in your hometown, and you know that the promotion is pulling out the red carpet for him, you know, that's a pretty cool moment, man. Like I said, it's not on the level of Jericho in 99. It's not on the level of Kurt Angle when he made his NWA TNA debut. But as far as counting down the days, the hours, the minutes, I mean, very, very few times in wrestling does that happen. We will always anticipate somebody's debut or somebody's return, like Becky Lynch or someone else. But as far as really, truly counting down the days, the hours, the minutes, that does not happen often. For me, it's only happened 2 or 3 times in my lifetime. And I've been a wrestling fan for 42 years. 42 years. So it was a pretty cool moment earlier today. And then when you think about this week in wrestling, Raw, not too bad. Dynamite, not too bad. SmackDown, decent. Rampage, decent. Impact, I haven't watched their full pay-per-view yet today, but the card looks solid. Then you got SummerSlam. Then you got TakeOver. I mean, if this week, for the last 7 days, if that does not satiate you as a wrestling fan, then you got GCW and other stuff as well. I mean, the amount of wrestling that we will end up getting in 7 days, if that doesn't make you happy, you might want to reevaluate yourself as a wrestling fan. Be honest. I don't know what tops that then. I don't know what would make those people happy. So, anyway, I'm going to jet out of here. Everyone, have a great night. If I don't see you tomorrow, enjoy SummerSlam. Should be a great show. And if you're around tomorrow night, stop by for a little while. We'll definitely chat some SummerSlam. So, everyone, did I leave any Super Chats out? Nope. I got everybody. We're good. Much love, everybody. I see you all tomorrow after SummerSlam. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. Doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.